Dawn Jackson Blattner is America's favorite registered dietitian, nutritionist, author, TV game show host, nutritionist for Major League Baseball World Series team, and she joins us most Thursdays at this time. It's Thursday at this time. Hi, Dawn Jackson Blattner.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, John, my favorite time of the week. You know this. Thanks for having me.
We've been noticing how corporate names or slogans are embedded in their logos. Do you have a logo, Dawn?
No, I mean, here's the thing. You've been helping me all along. Like,
yes.
You know, all your lines of like America's favorite dietitian. I mean, these are really things I've been taking notes on with your marketing skills.
Yeah, right. We haven't come up with anything yet. Let's just turn this over to our listeners. If anybody comes up with a really awesome Dawn Jackson Blattner logo that
yes.
she can use that will embed whatever it is she is or does, I will. And if she uses it, I will give you a WGN Radio t-shirt. Just email it to johnwilliams@wgnradio.com or text it into the show, 312-981-7200. How are you, Dawn?
I love that. Crowdsourcing some genius ideas. I love that. Thanks, John.
Halloween's around the corner. New study says having a sweet tooth is linked to a higher risk of depression, diabetes, and stroke. I would have guessed diabetes. Depression? Having a sweet tooth has some sort of link to sweet tooth has a link to depression. What's this study about, Dawn?
Yeah, to mood. Well, you know, I thought this sounded like a downer study, but if we talk about it, I'm going to bring us up, and I've got some strategies and actually a whole new acronym I created for you. So let's talk about this study, okay? But it's a downer, but I'll help us through it. Okay, so last week it was in the Journal of Translational Medicine. And here's what happened. 180,000 people were included in this study, okay? And AI actually was used to break these people up into three separate groups. One group was the health conscious group, okay? And then these are people, you know, health conscious people. They eat fruits and vegetables. They don't eat that many sweets. Then there was an omnivore group, and this is a person, you know, eats basically everything, some sweets, some vegetables, meats, fish, blah, blah, blah. And then the final group was this sweet tooth group. They really preferred sweets. They, you know, identified as a sweet tooth person of like cakes and sweets and sugary drinks. And so anyway, these three groups, we're comparing what happens to their health. And just like you said, the title of the study is the more sweet tooth group, when you dug into all their lab work, they had a higher risk of depression, diabetes, and stroke. And so this actually is not surprising to me because we know that a lot of added sugar in your diet is linked, like you said, to diabetes, but it is also mood, cognition, how your brain works, heart health, which is linked to stroke. And so this is not a study to say, you know, I'm going to prove to you that these people eat the sugar and then they get all these diseases. It's not. It's just a study that shows a link, you know, a possible link. So, you know, is this something that we have to be alarmed about? You know what? I say yes. I say this is an interesting thing to say, listen, how much sugar really can I eat here? Like, what are we talking about in terms of numbers? Like, give it to me straight. I want to decrease my sugar, but, you know, having no sugar is not necessarily the goal either. So here's where we could take this study that's kind of a downer and say, okay, listen, what does the American Heart Association say in terms of how much added sugar we could have? So I'm not talking about natural sugars. I'm talking about added sugars. And American Heart Association says about 30 grams of added sugar a day. So it's not zero. You really can still have, you know, these mini Halloween treats that are all around or, you know, pieces of cake or pie or a sugar drink, a little, 30 grams a day. So reading labels for added sugar and making sure that you're under that 30 gram threshold mm-hmm. is very, very smart. I think that's, you know, instead of all or nothing, just, you know, you're thinking about decreasing.
Are you including my breakfast cereal in that, Dawn?
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Thanks. That's a very good thing. Not only stuff that you know has sugar, like
right.
actual sugar, or cake, you're like, oh, that seems like it would have sugar. But yes, that's even like, look at your yogurt, look at your granola that you're having, look at your morning cereals that you're having, look at your, I mean, weird stuff that you would never even think to look at, like your breakfast sausage in the morning. You know, you say, oh my gosh, look at that label. I didn't realize that there are 3 grams of added sugar to every one of these. You know, so you're looking at labels just to get an assessment of your added sugar, and that 30 gram threshold is really, it's a smart place to be there or under it. And what I said to myself is, okay, you have somebody who has a sweet tooth. They hear this study that, oh, there's a potential link to depression and diabetes and stroke, and they think, oh, great, you know, what am I to do? So I decided that I would think through what could be the acronym to help somebody with their sweet tooth so that they could have less of a sweet tooth. And so here's the acronym. The acronym is SWEETS, SWEETS, and each letter is going to stand for a strategy. So the first S of SWEETS is that you're going to spread natural sugars throughout your day. So a lot of times people have a sweet tooth because they are not eating fruit. They are not having plain yogurt. They are not having healthy carbohydrates in their lunch or dinner or breakfast, like oatmeal or whole grain pasta or sweet potatoes. So adding these foods that have natural sugars help you enjoy these foods with all the added nutrition that they have without having to use processed sugar or that added sugar. So that's the first one. Spread actual natural sugars and healthy foods that have carbs through the day. The W is work on new habits. A lot of times your sweets are in the afternoon when you're actually stressed or tired. So you think to yourself, instead of sweets, is there anything that I could do for my actual stress of the job or the energy lull that I'm having? And thinking, oh yeah, you know what? I could have a little bit of green tea for my energy. You know what? I can actually go outside and take a no smoke break, get some fresh air for my stress. Or in the evening, if you're having a sweet tooth, you know, it's out of boredom. You're sitting, you're watching TV. It's like, what could you do to not be bored? Play a New York Times crossword puzzle in between commercial breaks instead of getting sweets. So that that W of work on new habits is actually a big deal. Then the double E's in sweets stand for eat regular meals and eat protein and fiber. And here's why those double E's are really important, is that a lot of times your sweet tooth is actually just indicating you need quick energy, that you haven't had your meals on time, so you're extra hungry, and then guess what your body wants? Quick energy, and that's sweets and that's sugar. If you hadn't had enough protein and fiber at those regular meals, your body is going to look for quick energy and is going to crave sweets and sugar. So those double E's are really key to helping your sweet tooth.
Yeah.
The T is something we've talked about and we love. Train your taste buds. We absolutely, absolutely can retrain how much salt and sugar our body, our mind, our soul enjoys. So things like, you know, if you also love sweets, can you make lower sugar versions of your sweets? An actual listener emailed me the other day and said, hey, you know, I'm making pumpkin pie. You know, what can I do? And it's like, well, instead of the 3/4 cup sugar that's in your recipe, you could just use half and it'll still turn out maybe just a little bit less sugar. You could start thinking about that. If you put sugar in your coffee, less sugar, training your taste buds, it actually works. And the final S, this should not be underrated. In this acronym, the final S stands for stop identifying yourself as a sweets lover. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So when someone says, hey, you know what? I can't control myself around sweets. I have a sweet tooth and there's nothing I can do about it. And I just love sweets. You're really reinforcing this attitude that you're the sweets person, and it's very hard to break out of. So identifying yourself as, yes, I enjoy sweets, but I'm not a sweet addict. I don't have a sugar tooth or a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. So all of those strategies really can help work to, you know, help you enjoy sweets, but just not overdo it.
Our experience has been that these habits get progressively easier, too. So it's hard to cut down on salt or sugar to start. But then Brenda doesn't drink sweet soda. And every now and then when she does, she can't believe how sweet it is. It's almost too much so. And I think that's just training her taste buds in reverse. And I've been that way with salt. I've been more salt conscious the last year or so. And now when I taste some stuff that I would have not thought twice about at a restaurant, I think, I can hardly eat this. It's just way too salty. it gets easier then to avoid salt or sweet because you sort of reset your taste buds, right, Dawn?
I love that. Thank you for the examples, because I do feel like, you know, it's hard. As a dietitian, people are like, roll their eyes and are like, are you serious? But like, when you really hear real stories of like, no, this can work, you know, just be practicing. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah.
And there is a really cool thing that if you are eating sweets and you want to make sure that it's not impacting your blood sugar too aggressively, there's two interesting things you can do. The first, you know, and I'm thinking of Halloween candies.
Wait, I'm going to write these down. Let me get a number two pencil. I'm going to write them down. Stay right there. Okay, Dawn?
Okay.
Dawn Jackson-Blattner, registered nutritionist and dietitian. DawnJacksonBlattner.com on Instagram. At DJ Blattner. By the way, do you have a question or a comment? 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. This segment is sponsored by Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, the original healthy meal company. Dawn Jackson-Blattner, the dietitian and nutritionist, joins us. Dawn, what were you about to say before I rudely cut you off?
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm glad you grabbed your pencil, because this is really an interesting thing. If you are having sweets and you want them to impact your blood sugar less, there's two interesting science-based things you can do. The first one is never eat sweets alone. Have them right after a meal that had had protein and fiber. So you eat a balanced meal, and then right after, enjoy your sweet treat. And that's because a sweet alone will spike your blood sugar up. And if you have it on top of a balanced meal, it is a little bit more steady. So the first thing is consider having it alongside of a balanced meal.
Wow.
The other thing, which is just so interesting to me, last year, maybe 2022, somewhere last year, 2022, there was a study that came out and said, do you know what? If you have sweets, a 2 to 5 minute walk, we're saying 2 minutes, 2 minutes walk will help your blood sugars become more stable after eating a sweet treat.
Wow.
Or 10 body weight squats. And walking can even be in place. You don't even have to like go outside. Or I have a client who she uses a stairwell in her building for 2 minutes. So thinking about like, okay, I've had this treat alongside my balanced meal. I'm going to do 10 squats after. My muscles start warming up and asking for that sugar, and it pulls the sugar out of your blood and into your muscles, which is where you want it. You don't want the sugar hanging around. I thank you for thinking that's so cool, because it really is not much you have to do. Like, a lot of people are like, well, you know, I don't know if I have that much time to go for a walk after, you know, my meals or after a sweet. It's like, it doesn't take that much time. We're talking as little as 2 minutes can impact this in a positive way.
All of this before Halloween in 2 weeks. And so listen to this. I just wanted to say thank you to Dawn Jackson-Blattner, because after buying her cookbook and following her advice on how to read labels and avoid added sugar, my cholesterol is down from 220 to 195, and I'm no longer on blood pressure meds, and I'm down 20 plus pounds. So thank you, Dawn. I'm a 53-year-old male who is doing great because of her. Next one says,
oh my gosh.
Love Dawn Jackson.
Wait, can we just say that's chills? Don't you have chills? Like, nutrition works. Good job. Oh my gosh.
I love Dawn. Our country is way too focused on building wealth and not building health. We need more of Dawn in our life. You can't buy health in retirement, even with a big nest egg. And then lots of comments like this just about sweet tooths and depression. 312, are you eating sweets because you're depressed, or are you depressed because you're eating sweets? Somebody else said, those of us with a sweet tooth spend our lives wishing we were eating sweets, or we are sad and disappointed in ourselves because we did. I totally believe in this connection. Dawn, I have a sweet tooth, and if I have to give up brownies or Reese's peanut butter cups, that would make me depressed. So people are very much commenting on the connection between your mental health and eating sweets, Dawn.
Yes. I mean, here's what we have to say. I love that everybody is seeing that this isn't all or nothing. So, yes, if you have to give up your favorite candies and your favorite brownies, that would be a sad thing. So the most important thing is we're thinking about, you know, how can we be a little more moderate than we perhaps usually are? And I really think there is something, and I know because of personal reasons and professionally with clients, there is something about not identifying yourself, that last
yeah. S. Yeah.
Stop identifying yourself as this person who can't control themselves around sweets. Enjoy them. They're pleasurable, but it's not something that has a power over you that you can't control. Now, here is a really interesting thing. There was 61 research studies all looking at this idea of food connected to mood that was done in the journal Nutrients. And here's what they found. Eating produce daily is essential for mental wellness. So let's just not have this conversation all about, you know, cutting out sweets is the way for you to have better mental health. Well, what could you do? Say you do have a lot of sweets on your mind. What could you do that would boost your mood and is an additive, more positive nutrition focus? 5 cups of fruits and vegetables daily, in particular, that would be 2 cups of fruit and 3 cups of vegetables daily, changed people's mood, optimism, confidence, stress levels, quality of life, life satisfaction, self-esteem, creativity, and happiness. So at the end of the day, if you are overwhelmed by the sweets attitude, I like the idea of positive nutrition. 2 cups of fruit every day, 3 cups of vegetables every day. Try and add that to your diet and see if you don't have better mood, but also have less of a sweet tooth.
Hey, John and Dawn, my trick is if I'm craving something sweet, I first have an apple or a piece of fruit. Then if I'm still hungry, I have a piece of candy, says Pam in Villa Park. I've noticed that too. If I just nosh on some grapes, it does sort of cut my craving for a Snicker bar. And then maybe I only have one of those little Snicker bars. John, I think you've talked about this with Dawn before, but what are her thoughts on intermittent fasting? And then it says, you're the greatest. I think that's about you, Dawn. Dawn,
let's both take that one. I think we could both take that one.
You're an advocate of intermittent fasting, aren't you?
Yeah, so here's how I start the conversation. Intermittent fasting is by no means a silver bullet and solves all your problems, and it's definitely not for everybody. So if you know that, you know, not magic, not for everybody, but you were to do something like, I really love a 12-hour time frame between your last bite of food and your first bite of food in the morning. So that is something like if you've stopped eating at 8 o'clock at night, nothing in the evening time after that, you go to bed, you wake up, 8 o'clock in the morning is your breakfast. That's a very reasonable way to intermittent fast in a very light way. That's not considered necessarily what they do in research studies. That's more like 14, 16, or 18 hours.
Yeah.
But 12 hours for most people is a great starting ground.
Ms. Blattner, is apple cider vinegar and water good for you?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Also not a magic bullet, apple cider vinegar, but 1 tablespoon of apple cider vinegar and 8 ounces of water. A recent very, 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 very small study found that it was helpful for waist circumference and for blood sugar. But again, not magic bullet. And if you enjoy the taste of it, that is something you can try in the morning. Make sure you dilute it and make sure you drink plain water afterwards because you don't want vinegar sitting on your teeth, your enamel.
We love Dawn Jackson Blattner, says another listener, and I think that listener is not alone. I hope you can join us again next week, Dawn.
I would love to. Thanks, John.